You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach talking Baltimore Orioles with MLB.com's Orioles beat reporter, Brittany Giroli. The big news from the Orioles right about now pertains to J.J. Hardy, who has dealt with some injury issues. What's his situation at this moment as we talk?
They hope that he is playing on Friday. He got a MRI this afternoon right around 1. He had a cortisone injection in his SI joint, in his lower back, and the MRI was basically unchanged from April. Now, April is important because he missed six games, including 5 in a row, with low back spasms. He is saying that this isn't nearly as bad. It hasn't spasmed up quite yet, so they feel like they got in front of this. Hardy will remain in Baltimore, which is where he got examined today, for the next couple days. They don't want him to come back to Boston to fly again and really just keep aggravating that back. So he will come in on Thursday for the off day, get a little treatment, and they hope, like I said, that he's in Friday's lineup.
Back injuries tend to be worrisome, and they tend not to go away. Is this a case where they think they may have to manage it for the remainder of the season in October, or is it something where they feel like this should cover him into the off season?
Well, he's going to have about a week off by the time this all is said and done. So they've given him a really good chance for it to go away. I mean, I agree with you. I think they're nagging injuries, but he managed it really well from April up until now with that first cortisone injection. So there's no reason to believe that won't be the case again, and he won't be able to be a factor for them and not be limited by this back injury through the end of this month and beyond.
Is he maybe a guy that they proactively give an extra day or two even after this, just over these last 2.5 weeks for a team with a 10-game lead? Is Hardy maybe a guy that they look to give a breather here and there to use your term, stay ahead of it, just to make sure that this doesn't recur, or that whatever, for a guy who works pretty hard, is he maybe a guy who'd get an extra day or two before the season's out?
Absolutely. They've done it already a couple times with a bunch of different guys. I don't see why Hardy would be any different. Steve Pierce had an abdominal strain. They took that real slow. Listen, the fact that they sent him back to Baltimore and they said that he probably could have played if the divisional race was a little closer tells you exactly that. So I think they're going to rest a bunch of guys down the stretch because they've really earned this luxury. They're in this position where not every game's going to matter at the end of September.
It's an interesting question. I think it's one we talked about before, but clubs sometimes do worry about doing too much of that. And I know we talked about it last week, but I think as it becomes more real, it's still worth examining. Does Buck Showalter have any worry about that line, about if you rest guys that maybe you lose a little of the edge?
I don't think so. I think really, I think the bigger issue is when you look at the teams that have had large divisional leads, and I did a big story for USA Today before I came to MLB.com about this very thing. They don't seem to fare well in the postseason. Really, it's the wild card winners. It's the teams that barely win the division that happen to get hot at the right time at the end of September that end up going deeper. So I think the bigger concern is not whether J.J. Hardy is going to be rusty from a day or two off. I think that's almost laughable. They've been playing since February. I think the bigger issue is playing in these games that don't mean anything for the last week or two of the season and then having to turn that switch back on for the postseason. To me, that's more dangerous.
And I guess that's kind of what I'm getting at is there's that whole psychological component, and I just wonder,
if you give guys a day or two,
does it sort of further that notion? Again, I'm not against it. I just think it's an interesting question, and it's something that a manager has to address. If you give guys an extra day or two, does that even further that sort of mindset that maybe these games aren't as important as the ones earlier and risk that kind of, again, losing that mental edge?
Yeah, I agree with you. But then on the flip side, would you rather risk injury or risk running those guys out there who do need a couple days? I mean, you could really play both sides of the coin. Like I said, to me, more of a concern from the team standpoint than it is individually getting these guys rest, having to all of a sudden play in games that matter again. And depending on when they clinch the magic number, they could be playing in meaningless games, essentially, unless you're playing for the baseball's best record, for 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks. And that is disturbing. When you think about how long of a period that is for baseball players who play meaningful games every night and been used to pedal to the metal since the season started in April, to all of a sudden kind of coast in, to me, is scary. To all of a sudden be the favorite, to be running over guys. Those are the teams, well, I hate to say it, those are the teams who end up bowing out early. And obviously that's not what the Orioles want to do.
You know as well as I do that Buck Showalter is a guy who's going to think about every possibility. What can he do? Is he even going to tell you guys, what can he do in that room to keep that mental edge? What is he thinking about doing to minimize that worry?
Well, I'm sure whatever he's thinking about doing, he's not going to share with us. But you're right. He does very much play into that mental side of the game. I think a lot of it is having guys like Nick Markakis, Adam Jones, guys who I think it's going to be tough to take out of the lineup no matter what. I mean, Nick Markakis wanted to play every game when this team was a train wreck and kind of the laughing stock of the AL East. He's not going to want to not play now. And you look at guys like Nelson Cruz playing for possibly a 40 home run season, 100 plus RBIs. Or are you really going to want to rest him too much or kind of keep him locked in? So Buck's going to really have interesting moves to make, and I think that he was really going to have to heavily rely on the team personnel to kind of police themselves a little bit.
While we're getting a little ahead of ourselves, let's get a little farther ahead of ourselves. The O's have a really interesting rotation. I think you can make a case it's kind of a regular season rotation. It's very deep. There's a lot of guys who can get out, but there's not a Cy Young contender. There's not a guy that people around the country say that's the number one. So what would a playoff rotation for this club look like right now?
Well, I think Miguel Gonzalez, who pitched last night, has to be part of it. I would say Wei-Yin Chen and Chris Tillman, who's pitching tonight, would probably be 1-2. You can argue on the order, the merits of matchups and the life of the lefty and a righty there. And then Gonzalez, honestly. Bud Norris certainly could be a candidate, but I think Kevin Gausman is better suited in the bullpen, given how deep they are into the season. And the 23-year-old has never pitched in August and September and certainly not in October in his career. So I think that's probably what you're looking at if the season were to end today.
And that kind of leads into one of the other things I was going to ask. With Gausman having, a little bit of experience in the bullpen, does that also maybe argue for him having that opportunity?
Yeah, and he also throws so hard, you can make the case that he could be the David Price for Tampa Bay in 08. But the guy in the bullpen that just comes out and is just throwing absolute fastballs that are in the upper 90s. I think Kevin Gausman could be that guy for them. He's really kind of coming to his own. And as you mentioned, that the pen isn't quite as foreign to him. He's had success, particularly last year, after he settled in a little bit to a real nice shot for them. So I think that's probably what's going to end up happening with him.
There was some comments over the weekend. Matt Wieter sounded pretty optimistic. Obviously, he's not part of the 2014 team, but as he goes into this winter, what do you think his 2015 looks like? Do you think there's a chance that this is a relatively normal season for him?
That's the hope, that this is a regular spring training and that he's ready to start the season. But you can't make those promises. That's the same thing that the Orioles thought with Manny Machado, and look at the year that he had. Obviously, just wrecked by injuries and underperformance and it was never quite right, never the Manny Machado that he was last year. So with that being said, they are optimistic. They like where Matt Wieters is right now in his rehab, but he's still really in the infancy of that whole process. It's too early to say, well, will he be ready if he does this? Is he ahead of schedule? Is he behind schedule? The Royals really don't want to get into that too much. But obviously they're a better team, a better club, a stronger club with Matt Wieters, which – really, when coupled with Manny Machado, makes it even more remarkable what they're doing.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's something you've addressed. It's something we've tried to address on MLB.com. One of the things that's really come from that, one of the reasons they've been able to do that, is an amazing season from Steve Pierce. This guy was released, not just designated, not just whatever. He was released. And now he's a key part of this club and a guy they really miss when he's out. First, could you kind of explain that sequence that happened back in April where this guy found himself off the roster?
Sure. Well, they needed to make a spot on that team. And where they were pitching-wise, they really couldn't afford to go down another arm. Their starters really didn't turn it around until about late June. So Steve Pierce was really the only option. He was a guy who they thought about trading a couple times this spring. didn't really pan out, wanted to keep him on the roster, wasn't getting a whole lot of at bats. So, of course, they ended up getting rid of him. But they always wanted him to come back. He's very much a Buck Showalter type of guy. He grinds out his at-bats. He's very well-liked. I remember that day in Toronto, there was 10 players crowded around his locker talking to him. And, you know, that says a lot. You're in clubhouses, you've seen that. 10 guys is an awful lot of guys for a player who at the time was a marginal player. So the Orioles worked out a deal with him. He was claimed by Toronto, but he was eligible to reject that on the outright waiver claim, was eligible to say no, he didn't want to go there. The Orioles quickly re-signed him. They were able to find a loophole in the roster where they were able to add him right away. Somebody, I believe, was coming back from paternity, and Steve Pierce filled right in for Chris Davis, who was out. This is a guy who didn't have regular at-bats. You look at his career, he was a pretty well-thought-of prospect in Pittsburgh, never really had too much of an extended look. All of a sudden, now he's playing every day, and then you started to see Steve Pierce, who carried that team through June. He was absolutely phenomenal for them. He's had some peaks and valleys since then, but he's really been able to give the Orioles a shot in the arm. He's played great defense. He's given them some at-bats. He's well beyond his career high in games played and home runs and nearly every offensive statistic there is. So he's been a really good feel-good story for baseball. It's part of what makes baseball so cool. You know, this is a guy who didn't have a job midway through the season, then he gets named AL Co-Player of the Week, and he is a huge, huge part of what the Orioles are doing.
For sure. Well, Brittany Giroli, thanks for taking some time to chat here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks, everybody, for listening.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game stream live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.